The cliche goes, a sign of a good team is that they win even when they aren't at their best. Well, the Steelers must be a pretty good team because they just beat another pretty good team, and they did so playing far less impressive football than they did a week ago. I am Tim Benz. This is the Steeler Wire postgame podcast. Pittsburgh beat Cincinnati at Heinz Field on Sunday. Final score 24-16. And while the Steelers may not have been at their best, I will try to be at my best for you. Of course, beating your hated division rival in Week 2 to go 2-0 is pretty good, but they played a much better team than last week, put out an inferior product, and still won, so an interesting dissection there. Where was it a lesser game, you ask? Well, the QB, first and foremost. Ben Roethlisberger was not good on Sunday, despite what some of his numbers may indicate. Yes, 3 TDs, but just 19 of 37. He threw 2 picks, and numerous open receivers were missed. He had trouble getting a grip on the ball, which is a rarity for Ben, who usually is an above-average bad-weather QB, but the rain was a real issue on Sunday, as we even saw Roethlisberger lose a ball on a pump fake, which never happens to him. He's the master of that, and so rarely does the ball pop out when he's trying to do that. And the offensive line wasn't up to the high standard that it set back on Monday Night Football either. While Ben was only sacked once, the pressure was far more evident and disruptive from Cincy, as was to be expected certainly as compared to the Washington Redskins. But in the run game as well, the Steelers rarely opened up the gaping holes that they had in D.C. Domita Pekka won a few battles against Marquise Pouncey, to be sure. Sims pushed back Villanueva a few times. The same thing happened to Foster at least once. In fact, the Bengals limited D'Angelo Williams just 2.9 yards per carry, yet somehow he grinds out a total of 94 yards on the ground and 126 overall. Here's Williams, who passed 10,000 yards for his career on Sunday.
During the course of the game, we knew that it was going to be a two-chin-strap game, and we knew also that it was going to be a high-running game as well because of the field conditions and just the weather conditions, period. So I'll take a 3-0 and a win any day as opposed to a 7-0 and a loss.
Here's where the Steelers were good, and really good, actually. They've been very good in two specific areas on defense over the first 2 weeks. Third downs and red zone. Not areas where the Steelers have been renowned to be successful in recent years, especially not when it comes to third and fourth downs. Cincy and Washington are now a combined 8 of 29 against Pittsburgh on third and fourth downs. The Bengals were 0 for 3 in the red zone when it comes to TD conversions after the Redskins had been just 1 of 4 on Monday Night Football. Here's Ryan Shazier on all things defense, especially why and how the Steelers have been getting off the field and holding opponents to 3 points instead of 7.
Two things that particularly stand out about your defense so far. You've been very good on third downs, and you've been particularly good in the red zone, keeping teams out of the end zone, allowing them to kick field goals, and that's it. Why have those two elements of your defense been so good in that regard so far?
I think we work on those objects a lot in practice, and we want to make sure we get guys off the field, and if you're getting third down conversions, then people are going to score. And in the red zone, if you're doing good in the red zone, that means you're scoring also. So we work on those aspects a lot in practice, going against our offense, which is one of the best offenses in the NFL. And we're just trying to continue to stop people and make them kick field goals if we know we're going to score.
It seems like so far the only times where the defense has really struggled is when you've gotten a big lead and kind of exchange yardage for time. That certainly happened on that one drive where Bernard caught a bunch of passes and turned them into fairly big gains.
Yeah, on that stuff right there, we just got to do a better job of tackling. We knew that they were going to start. We were just trying to keep the deep stuff away, but we just got to do a better job of tackling. Guys didn't do a great job of tackling. They were still getting first downs, and they were able to keep moving the chains, and then at the end, we missed some tackles, and they scored. So we just got to do a better job of tackling and keeping those guys in front of us.
I know your job is not to worry about the back third, but it did a very nice job containing A.J. Green, especially with Ross on him. Can you talk about that a little?
Those guys did a great job. We want to do better as a whole defense when it comes to passing yards. They had too many passing yards. But those guys did a great job of containing him and making sure that he doesn't do what he wants to do or what he normally does. So the whole defense, we all know where he's at, and we just want to make sure that we can continue to do those great things because that's a great player.
Despite the knee this week, did you feel fast? Did you feel good on it?
Yeah, I definitely felt fast out there. I felt pretty good. You got to get used to a brace a little bit when you wear one, but I definitely felt the same.
One thing that's helped you guys this year, you seem to be getting a boost from your special teams. Your punt team has made the other team go the length of the field quite a bit. Can you ever go over the punter and smack him on the butt and say nice job and helping us out, make him go 90?
Oh yeah, we definitely thank Jordan a lot. He's one of the best punters in the league. I think people are starting to recognize and notice him a lot more now, and Jordan's doing a great job. He always put us in great position, and the percentages of teams scoring inside the 10 and 20 is a lot higher than team scoring from the 30 and in. So when he's helping us like that, it really makes our defense a lot better. We count our special team as a part of the defense.
Yeah, and how about that point on Jordan Berry, the punter? When did this guy get good? Winning the field position battle against the Bengals was huge on Sunday, especially when you have a defense that is suddenly so good on third downs. If you make the team go 85 yards, 90 yards a bunch, they just aren't going to do it. And Berry was excellent at pinning the Bengals deep. He averaged 47 yards per punt to flip field position in the first place and dropped 5 kicks inside the 20. The only thing I don't like about the defense so far has been their propensity to get too soft too early. You saw that against the Skins when they scored on back-to-back drives in the second half to creep back into that football game. And you saw it Sunday against the Bengals too. That 8-play, 75-yard, 323 drive where the Bengals scored, Pittsburgh was willing to yield yards for time on that drive, but the problem was the swap wasn't supposed to be that ineffective. They yielded way more yards, 7 points, and only took 3 minutes and 23 seconds off the clock in the process to do it. It was nothing but dump downs to Gio Bernard, and it was effective. You could tell Cam Hayward was getting pissed, and he sounded that way in the locker room afterwards about it.
Saw some frustration there at the end as the time was winding down and they were chewing up some yardage to get close. Can you talk about that last drive, which sort of allowed them to get back into the game?
Just missed tackles. We knew exactly what they were going to do. They checked down the ball a lot because of pressure, and nothing was open down the field. When they do that, we got to make tackles and we got to wrap up.
Oh, you were critical of the pass rush last week. How did you feel it evolved, if at all, this week? Same thing? Or?
We got one sack, but best thing is we got the win. But, I thought there was more pressure all around. But we just need the dam to break.
How about the back third and the job they did, particularly against A.J. Green? He only had 2 catches for 38 yards.
Heck of a compliment to our secondary. You know, they focus in every day, and, you just see the growth. You know, Will Gay leads those guys, Mike Mitchell, Ross Cockrell's come on big. We're just ever-evolving. We just have to continue to keep working because we got a great secondary. Now we just got to pick up the rush, and when we do that, we'll be successful.
Cam, that goal line stand, what stands out to you about that?
Just a facet of plays where I thought we either got to the ball and tackled, or we had probably had pressure, and then he had to rush some throws. And then our secondary just, kept battling every play and kept sticking around. Andy's a really good quarterback, but when you continue to have a secondary like that that continues to work, we're going to be successful.
But you know what? Big picture-wise, on defense, you want a player of the game, I'll give you one. How about Ross Cockrell? He had a ton of assignment duties holding down A.J. Green, and boy, did he do that. Look what happened last week. It's Darrell Revis who's going to be in the Hall of Fame. 12 for 182 against him for A.J. Green. And then this week against the mighty Ross Cockrell, 2 catches, 38 yards, that's it. And while Cockrell deflected credit, he deserves most of it.
It's a total defensive effort to stop a guy like that. Some of the best in the world are not just going to be one-on-one with him all day. And that's what we did today. Well, we came across, we had a game plan, we blitzed, we ran zones, we ran man. We threw the book at them, and I think it showed in how we played.
Okay, now I know that many will say that the Steelers got bailed out at the end, and I think they did. I don't think that was a fumble by Tyler Boyd on what looked like a potential game-tying possession from the Cincinnati Bengals. I thought that was a bad call. I thought his knee was down as he was being hit by James Harrison, hence he was contacted on the ground, so there couldn't have been a fumble. So I don't think the ball was supposed to go over to the Steelers there, and I do think that referees in general put way too much emphasis on overwhelming, overriding, has to be 100% a blown call. Just get the call right. And I thought they thought about that one too much. But there were numerous bad calls in this game. I thought it was a very poorly officiated game. But then again, Pete Morelli was in charge, so what else is there to expect? I thought they missed a helmet-to-helmet shot from Pac-Man in the first half on DHB. I thought Ben was the victim of one as well. Furthermore, the Cockrell PI on AJ Green was a terrible call. I'm talking about the one down the sidelines. And the one on Burns was questionable, especially if Brown didn't get one of a similar nature from Jones later in the game. Shazier, I thought, was dramatically held on one play, no flag. I will say the Steelers got away with a few holds as well. DeCastro, one notable one in particular, but that fumble was really bad, and I feel bad for local product Tyler Boyd, who up until that point was good, catching 6 balls for 78 yards. Gio Bernard led the way with an even 100 on 9 catches and a TD for Cincy. And if you look at the stats for Andy Dalton, boy, they feel inflated, don't they? 366 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. That goes for a passer rating of just 84.3, which is rather pedestrian, and that's probably good if you look at the fact that he threw 23 incompletions, many of which were to open wide receivers. Ball's just not in the right spot for receivers to make plays and convert to extend drives or put them in better down and distance situations early in sequences against the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. And let me give you one other interesting development on defense I noted. How about Jarvis Jones playing the left side a lot more? That's an interesting wrinkle. The Steelers perhaps trying to get Jones and Harrison on the field more often together. Personally, I felt like Jones was always more suited for the left side than the right side in this defense. I've said that since they drafted him. They never tried him there until now, really. Here's Jones talking about why.
Was that a little bit more time on the left side for you today than normal?
It was. I got a lot of reps over there. Hopefully we'll see how I did tomorrow watching film.
Can you tell me why that went into the thinking this week and how you felt you did? I know, like you said, you got to do the film study, but just on first blush, how do you think you did?
Our coach was just trying to mix up the rotation, you know. You know, he got a chance to switch it up. Me and Debo rather ever get opportunities to play together. So
seems to make sense. Like, I mean, there could be something there, right?
Definitely, man. Then we'll improve on it. Watch film, coaches up, and definitely look to improve on it.
Because they're moving you around, it looks like, too. They're having you stand up and kind of move around in the middle third. Is that right?
Yeah. Something I've been doing. They just let me do it more now because I understand what I'm doing.
And finally, how about a shout-out to the tight end, Xavier Grimble, making a very nimble catch, run, and stretch for the goal line to score the first touchdown of the game. Jesse James high-pointing the ball and making a sweet catch for the second TD of the game. Sammy Coates, who had 97 yards receiving to lead the way for the Steelers, talks about his tight ends here.
How much were your tight ends a help today? It looked like that might be a question mark position going into the season. You know, they had huge games.
You know, we got great players all around on the offense, and it's just going to be to see how we continue to grow and continue to get better each and every week.
Yeah, and I thought they were in real trouble at that position when they substituted out Heath Miller for Ladarius Green. Damaged goods Green comes here and can't do much of anything, and then they're left with Jesse James and Xavier Grimble and David Johnson, who's still doing a very good job blocking, by the way. But they have gotten production out of their tight ends early, and that is a surprising turn of events. Oh, and you know what? How about one last thing before I go here? How about the lack of pushing and shoving, the lack of trash talk, the lack of nastiness, the overall failure to have a crescendo like we anticipated for Bengals Steelers in the wake of what happened in January during the wild card game? As I said on the Channel 2 Sports Showdown in Pittsburgh on Sunday night, it was basically like watching Silence of the Lambs without Hannibal Lecter. You take Vontaze Burfict away, it just shows you how much the game can calm down, even with Pac-Man still out there. It didn't get nuts at all. It really didn't get tense or chippy. There's a little back and forth between AB and Dansby at one point, but that was about it. It was a very easy game to officiate in that context. They blew a lot of calls, but there wasn't a lot of nastiness. The entire tone of, oh my gosh, this is going to be a bloodbath, nothing. Didn't even come close to that. Here's Ramon Foster as to why.
The back and forth that we had with those guys, man, I think that's how it's going to be from here on out.
Well, that's kind of what Lawrence Timmons was saying earlier. He used the word with the phrase, football is a classy game, and that had to happen today. Did you think that maybe the wild card game is kind of where it crested, and now it's going to be more about football like it has been with Baltimore in recent years?
I think so, and I think I said early in the week, you know, they're a team that's they're a playoff type of team, and they realize that, and I think that playoff game kind of put it to the point that they felt like, you know, they're not going to take anything, that they're here to stay, and I respect them for that. It's our type of AFC ball, and I think everybody in our division plays that way now.
And look, for the talk show industry, what happened last year with these teams, it's gold. Me, as a talk show host, as a radio personality, you root for that because there are storylines aplenty and it moves the needle. But if, in fact, what we were just talking about with Ramon happens and it's gotten as big as it can, it'll be about football moving forward. And that's still good with Baltimore. Let's see if it holds up with Cincinnati. I still wonder, though, when the stakes are a little bit more on the line later in the season, when these two teams meet up again and Burfict and Bell are back and likely still on the field together, unless injury crops up for either of them again, you might see a little bit more nastiness than what you saw at Heinz Field on Sunday. We'll worry about that when the time comes. Up next, Philadelphia. We'll have another Steeler Wire postgame podcast then after the game against the Eagles. Make sure you check back in. This is Tim Benz saying talk to you next week.